But not in Isaiah this morning. I know you're confused. However, it is important that we address major holidays by preaching to them and talking about them. And Palm Sunday is no small thing. So we're going to go to Matthew this morning, chapter 21. And if you have your Bibles, please turn with me there. We're going to read the first 11 verses and talk on that this morning. This morning I've entitled this passage as "Your King Comes to You." Now, just in case you weren't aware of this, we do indeed have an evening service. Starts a little bit after 6. It's called Refuge. I preach every other Sunday. John preaches the opposite Sunday of me in the evening services. It's always a different sermon than what's here in the morning. This evening I'm preaching, and I'll be preaching this evening from Matthew 12 through 17. And, you know, "Hear What These Children Are Saying" is what I'm titling this evening's message. So "Hear What the Children Are Saying" is this evening, but here this morning, it's "Your King Comes for You." So let's read this and see what the Lord is saying to us this morning. It says, "As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away.' This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet: 'Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king has come to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey.' The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowd went on ahead of him, and those that followed shouted, 'Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!' When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, 'Who is this?' The crowds answered, 'This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee.'" Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning, and we seek you. Lord, we seek to know you more. We seek your face. We seek change in our lives. So, Lord, we ask right now that you would use your word to work within us, to draw us closer to you, to make us better reflections of you here in this earth. Lord, I pray for myself that as I come and preach this morning, that your anointing would be upon me, that I would indeed speak with power, the power of the Holy Spirit. And you, Lord, your name would be lifted up and glorified. And each person who hears your word would be encouraged and blessed. Father, be present in our midst. Let your Holy Spirit guide us in what we do in our worship this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Most of us are fairly familiar with this passage. This is a fairly familiar story from the Bible. The story of Jesus' triumphal entry. Some of the, if you've got one of those Bibles with little subheadings, it'll say, some of them say his triumphal entry. You know, what was going on here? What was happening? Jesus had been wandering various parts of Judea, for the last 3+ years, involved in ministry. He spent some time in Capernaum. He was down to Israel, or down to Jerusalem several times. This is at least his third trip. But Jesus was, well, he was a bone of contention amongst those in authority. But he was one of the favorites of the people around because, one, he was a bone of contention with the authority. Well, kind of like the person who kind of gives it to those who are in authority over us. See, Jesus was saying and doing things that nobody else had done. And there had been multiple attempts up to this point to get rid of Jesus, or conversely, to have him take the position of king or leader around. And Jesus had basically walked away from all these things and just said, I'm here to preach the good news. I'm here to show the way. So yet on this particular Palm Sunday, which what we call Palm Sunday, which is the day after Sabbath, he's coming into town. This is the week of Passover. Now, Passover is more than just one day when the Jewish tradition that really goes for a number of days, a number of different celebrations. And later in this week, we'll be celebrating some of that. But it is a week of celebration for the people of Israel, particularly in Jerusalem with the temple. They would have had all sorts of preparations underway, a lot going on. People from out of town, people would make it a special point. They're going to show up to be in Jerusalem during this time. You show up for the special celebration. There had been a lot of talk, a lot of questions. Is Jesus going to come? Because they knew that there were those people who wanted Jesus dead for what he'd been teaching, for his unwillingness to fall under their authority. See, it's not that Jesus was being rebellious. It's just that Jesus doesn't fall under their authority. And they just couldn't accept that. See, it was through Christ that the whole world was created. And all of us have life through Him. But He is also the one who brings us salvation. And we see that in this story this morning as they're coming in. Even though they may not have realized why or what they were saying, they knew the import of why they said it, or of what they said. Let me just take a look at a couple of the passages here. As Jesus is going to come in and he's made the arrangements to get this colt to ride, we have this passage, which is taken from Zechariah. But it says here, say to the daughter of Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of donkey. Now, however, in Zechariah 9:9, there's a passage that's missing out of the middle of this. Do we have that one? Zechariah 9:9. And it says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you. Here's what's not there. Righteous in having salvation. Then we go back to what's there. Gentle in riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. We have that verse shared with us. But as we go down in the story, what we see is that as Jesus is coming down the road into Jerusalem, the people are shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! Hosanna means save. So the part that says that he's righteous in having salvation wasn't said in that where our description that says that this is why it's here, but yet we see it implicit in what the people are in. They know what they're saying. They know Hosanna means save. Hosanna to the Son of David. Save to the Son of David. You know, in English, that doesn't really kind of flow so well. We got the word Hosanna to the Son of David. Really what we're talking about more is salvation comes through the Son of David. The Son of David is the source of salvation. Hosanna in the highest. We're just not talking a mid-level or low-level salvation here, but the highest level of salvation possible. Okay, not a temporary earthly salvation, which is what they had previously had. They had to continually offer sacrifice at the temple each year for the forgiveness of the people of Israel. Every year they had to do this. And each family, each person was supposed to come to the temple individually and seek salvation through giving of an offering. A sacrifice was made on their behalf. Now, the time of Passover is a remembrance of when God came and brought salvation to His people. When He plucked them out of slavery and brought them eventually to the land of milk and honey, to Israel. Jesus is indeed of the line of David. And it's from the line of David that the people were expecting God to come again. Because that's what the prophets told them. That salvation, such as the same as what took the people of Israel out of captivity before, would come again. And this is what they're celebrating. And they're pointing back to David. They're pointing to the celebration of Passover. That God has saved them. But now we're not talking just a temporary salvation. But Hosanna in the highest. Saving in the highest. One that is a permanent salvation. Eternal salvation. They don't even know. They don't know the full theological impact and import of what they're saying. But we can see it as we look back some 2,000 years to the past and say, we can see it plainly. They're caught up in the moment. You see, they see Jesus coming. Now, why are they so excited about Jesus? Because He's of the line of David? Well, at this point, this is not really much of a distinction, as the line of David had kind of spread out quite a bit. You know, I've got parts of my family that said, you know, we're supposed to be related to this person and that person. And a lot of this is kind of like, kind of shaky. But we, you know, but Jesus was indeed of that real line. But they did. But what it was that really convinced them, what knew is when they said, who is this? The crowd answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Well, that doesn't answer the question. Until you remember that Jesus, that prophet from Galilee, He's the one who'd been feeding the hungry. He fed the 5,000. He was the one who was restoring sight to the blind. He was the one who was casting out demons, setting those who were captive free. He was making the lame to walk again. Someone who had not walked their whole life, take up your mat and walk. There shouldn't have been any muscles in those legs to get up and walk with. Who here has any medical, physical, or biological training whatsoever? If you lay on a mat for 30 years, don't expect to stand up and be able to walk. Okay? You won't have any muscles. They will have atrophied. It takes a lot of work, a lot of physical therapy to get them going so they can just stand on those legs. But this was Jesus. A woman who'd been bleeding for years. Just touched the hem of his cloak and she's healed. He heals the sick. And he raised the dead. He raised the dead. Twice, at least, that we know of in Scripture. Once a young girl would say, "Oh, don't bother coming to heal her. She died." He said, "Get away. Everybody out. I'll go in. She's fine. She's just sleeping." Comes back. "She's fine. Get her something to eat." Then we have his friend Lazarus, who he arrives after he's been in the grave for a few days now, and says, "Open up the grave." He says, "No, don't do that. By now it stinks." Okay, he's dead. He's buried. He is rotted at this point. "Don't open up the grave. It's just going to... Jesus, you don't know what you're doing. You're out of your league here." And he said, "No, open the grave." And just said, "Lazarus, come forth." He said, "Now get those grave clothes off." And as Lazarus walked out, healthy and whole. Is this not someone who you would want to be your king? Your leader? I mean, hey, he needed money for the temple tax. What did he do? He said, "Go down to the lake, catch a fish, open its mouth, there'll be a coin." Huh? I wish I could do that. I wish I could catch the fish. This is Jesus. He preaches with power. He calms the water. He walks on the water. Unlike the Minnesota water, which freezes from time to time, the stuff in Galilee doesn't. No. How could you have a better leader? He can produce food out of nothing for rations for your army. He can send your soldiers, keep healing them. Even if they're dead, he can raise them up and they're back in the fray again. You don't lose your best people. Oh, if he wanted to, he'd just snap his finger and cause an entire army just to be wiped out. This is what they thought. This is what they wanted. And they were looking for that political powerhouse that was going to come in and take them out from underneath the subjugation of the Roman Empire. But that's not why Jesus came this time. He didn't come to take them away from out from underneath this temporary subjugation, but he came to remove and save us from the eternal subjugation of sin. And he came down this road to the temple at the time of the Passover as a sacrifice. He knew what was at the end of the road. He knew what awaited him. But yet he came willingly. Hearing them shout, "Hosanna," the same voices that, well, just a couple days later are going to shout, "Crucify." This morning, what does this mean for us? Sometimes, we look to Jesus with the wrong intent, the same way as the people there in Jerusalem that morning looked at Jesus wrongly. We want Jesus to come and fix this, make everything all better. I don't want to have any more problems anymore. I want you to make my earthly life perfect. Remove all those problems. Now, Jesus did come and help and relieve issues in the earthly realm for people. He did bring healing. He did feed people. He did come alongside and bless them. But He did this for the purpose of opening their hearts and minds to the gospel message of eternal salvation. He wasn't there for this temporary earthly fix, quick fix of, you know, let's take care of the political powers that be. That wasn't what He was concerned about. He was concerned about the souls, the eternal end game for each of the people. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in self and what's going on in our lives and this world that we forget that, you know, this is just a temporary place. This is just a short blink of an eye, if that, in the eternity. Yet it is what we do here in this time which impacts and determines our eternity. For if we receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, then we get to be with Him for eternity. And He does indeed save us. Hosanna in the highest salvation possible. That of eternity. But if we don't receive Him, then we have rejected Him. Okay? It's not, there is no third path here. It's either, yes, I receive you as Lord and Savior, or no. There's no maybe, there's no kind of. There's no with conditions. It's yes or no. Now, if we think that what's most important is of this world, and we're all focused on that, well, you know, if God will just take away this problem in life, I'll believe that it's true. You know what? Yeah. You know what people did after that? They say, well, now take away this problem and then I'll really believe you. And then he would do that, and it's like, well, now take away that problem, and I'll really... See, it's not taking away the problem of the temporary that... It's the solution, and leads us to belief. What we need to do is put our faith in Christ for the eternal, and recognize that He does indeed have the power to bring that salvation that is eternal. We're going to talk more about that on Good Friday. Well, even at the Seder, we'll see some things on that. And then on Easter morning, the victory that is in Jesus. I don't know if it's on the schedule or not, but we might sing Victory in Jesus. Just never know. Could happen. I might threaten to sing it myself if they don't. Who knows? Somewhere along the line. But we need to be coming to Jesus and not trying to get Him to do what we want for this temporary world, but instead seeking what it is He wants of us so that we can be with Him for eternity. And what does He want of us? Our heart. So let's pray and seek the Lord this morning. Father, we come before You and Lord, might we give You our hearts. Might we indeed make You our Lord, our Savior. Oh, Father, You gave Your Son Jesus up as a living sacrifice, an offering to wash away our sins so that all who receive Him might have salvation, might enter into the kingdom of heaven for all eternity. Lord, it's not that You don't care about what's happening right now. It's that what's going on in this earth, so we need to understand that it's temporary. Lord, Lord, might we make the eternity our focus and give you our full attention in that matter. And might we submit ourselves to you and receive you truly as Lord and Savior in every way and every day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.